grab your Bible and find Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Our sermon series that we've been going through on Sunday nights, last week, remember, it was diluted faith. I looked at my notes. We'd done that like 4 weeks ago. But it was a totally different, actually it was a totally different message. Maybe the Lord wanted me to do that. So it's fine to sometimes throw in stuff that's a little off. But tonight we are going with our order. You making fun of me? Did I say something wrong? Because usually when they're laughing, it's because I said something wrong. It's my wife. She's allowed to do that. Tonight, we're talking about lack of direction. One of the problems in churches, and at times, sometimes I even feel like that might be a problem here. Sometimes it doesn't seem like we're all on the same page. And, you know, I'm not trying to pick or attack any person. I'm not calling out anybody. At different times throughout my ministry here, it seems like we are all going different directions and we're all competing. It seems like sometimes it comes across as if we're competing for people, volunteers, and we're competing for money. And when we look at the scriptures, I don't think God would want us to operate like that. I think he all wants us all to be on the same page, going in the same direction. Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse 21. Proverbs 19, 21. It says, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." So whose direction do we want to be going, class? The Lord's. Not man's way, not our way, not even, let's say we get a group of people here and we vote on what our direction's going to be. It still might be wrong. We have to go God's way. Now, as a church, many years ago, we developed a mission statement or a vision statement, some people call it, or a goal. And it's on some various signs throughout the building, and we're still trying to work on getting it put out back in the lobby again. And it says something along the lines of, we want to seek and save the lost, not only across the street, but also across the sea. Now, that is a vision statement or a mission statement, in my opinion, that's virtually directly out of Scripture. I mean, somebody asked Jesus Christ one time why he came to this earth, and he said, to seek and save that which is lost. And so we are trying to share in that vision that Christ had. Now, my question is when you're doing your ministry, whatever it may be around the church, it could be anything from a service-type ministry to a teaching-type ministry, is that the direction that you are working for, to seek and save the lost across the street and across the sea? If you've got any other ideas in your mind, we are, I think, straying for what the Lord wants, and I think we would be pulling against each other, sort of like having this tug-of-war battle. One pastor said the best way to win a game of tug-of-war is everybody pulling at the same time, together. And that's what we have to do. I think that's what God wants us to do. Now, some people sense this lack of direction over the years, and they decide, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. And that's happened a few times. It's kind of unavoidable. But as a church, we can look at those things, and we can evaluate, and we can say, are we going your direction, Lord? Is there competition here? Is there something that's stopping us? And I found a few things that I think might help us. Sometimes people, if they can't find community, if that's not part of the lifestyle of the church and part of a under direction, you know, how are you going to seek and save the lost if we don't get along with each other, right? We need to make sure we have community, and sometimes people will leave the church if they don't have community. Now, people want community, people want relationships, they want loyal relationships, authentic relationships. And I mentioned it very briefly this morning. In a community of believers, we need to be a group of people that are willing to bear one another's burdens. Okay? And if that's not happening and we're not sort of fulfilling that vision that Jesus Christ had for the church, people aren't going to like it. There's going to be problems, and we're going to have to do that. Community. Keep talking about that. Another reason why sometimes there's people just leave the church and they may cite lack of direction is sometimes there's just too much drama. Have you ever been in a church that just like it seems like every way you turn, there's like a drama, another, and some people even say that about here probably at times. You know, every time you turn around the corner, there's drama. And in your life, at your work, is there drama? In your home, is there drama? When we come to church, we'd love to have an actual drama-free environment. What I do is when, and I often have to teach this to the teens and remind them, because teens sometimes get carried away with bullying, name-calling, things like that, and we make them memorize a verse, Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is good to edify and build others up. You familiar with that? That verse, Ephesians 4:29. And we tell the kids that church needs to be a safe place. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I go through the whole thing every time. When you go to school, do people make fun of you? Yeah. When you go here, do people rip on you? Yeah. When you go to church, you want to know that that's a place where nobody's going to rip on you. And I think that sort of translates to adults in not bullying, but drama. We want less drama in our lives, and people come to church, and that's what they want to find. Jobs, family, friends, they give people enough opportunities to be gossiped about, backstabbed, and pushed aside. Churches can't do that. Churches need to be the safe place, sort of an escape from drama. And if drama, if the church adds more drama to somebody's life, guess what they're going to do? They're going to say that church is not going the right direction. They're going to find another church. We need community. We need less drama. We need a couple others. We need authentic relationships, and authentic people is another one here on the list. The word authentic means not false, but real, reliable, and trustworthy. There's probably no other message on earth that's more authentic than that of Jesus Christ. The definition of what we gave, right, real, trustworthy, that's Jesus Christ. I mean, everything he said was trustworthy. Everything he said was real. And we know it was real because everything he said, he did, he backed up with miraculous signs to prove it. And every promise he's made, he is fulfilled. Now, there's a few promises that haven't quite been fulfilled, but because the previous 10,000 have been fulfilled, we know those last few will be fulfilled. So Jesus Christ is probably the most authentic person who's ever walked this earth. However, sometimes church people, we are less authentic. Have you ever heard people out in the world call Christians plastic? Those are like plastic people. They're fake, right? People want church to be people who are real. That means, at times, we need to be humble enough to be vulnerable. Well, I'm not perfect, but God's helped me. I think he can help you. You know, things like that. Just to share in the messiness of life. If all of us look perfect all the time, have you ever had a friend that like just had the perfect right answer every time, and after a while, what happened? You sort of, it just started to grate on you like sandpaper. Some of you are thinking, oh yeah, I know exactly, you know, you're thinking of somebody. You know, we need people in our church that are just authentic and real, and that when people come here, they're like, wow, you know, if God can do a work in his life, maybe he can do a work in mine. The last reason I have here that I want to mention, sometimes people leave church because they don't find Jesus. That kind of sounds silly. No, right? Church, of all places, should be a place where Jesus should be evident. Where when people walk in, they kind of like, wow, I'm meeting Jesus everywhere. He's everywhere here. You know, Jesus loved the unlovable. Jesus loved the outcast. He served widows. He served fatherless. He was just caring for people that really didn't even care about him. He sought out people that were on the edges of society. I mean, who was probably the worst members of society back then? The lepers? They were forced out into their own community, and Jesus didn't like kind of run away like, oh no, get away from me. Jesus walked up to them and said, you know, I love you. And he touched those people. Now, leprosy was a disease, at least they thought back then, was very highly contagious. Just by touching, you might get that. So these people that had leprosy, think about that. If they'd have been a leper for 10 years, 20 years, they may have not been touched. Well, they lived in a leper community. Maybe they, you know, had hugs from other lepers. I don't know. But Jesus loved those people enough just to give them a hug, to touch their lives and heal them. We can't heal people physically, right? But maybe that touch of kindness would heal people spiritually, heal people emotionally. You know, we have to be like Jesus, and that's part of seeking and saving the lost across the street and across the sea. People in Jesus' day, when he would walk, was it like usually two or three or four people that sort of followed behind him wherever he went? A lot more than that. Thousands? Yeah. That one time he fed like 5,000 people, right? And another time he was getting so like crushed by people that he had to borrow a boat and go out in the water a little ways. That'd be like a good place to preach, right? From a boat. Thousands of people followed this guy. Now the skeptic would say, well, yeah, because he gave them free health care. He just healed people. But after the people were healed, they still were after him, because the way he taught, the way he loved, was unlike any other person they'd ever met. And they knew Jesus was real, they knew he was authentic, and they were attracted to that type of personality. And I think as we sort of grow and mature in our walk with the Lord, that's an aspect we should put on, that realness, that genuineness. That when people look at us, they're like, wait a second. That's the closest I'm going to get to Jesus on this earth. And we seek and we save the lost, and we are kind like that and authentic. And one of the articles that I read that I wanted to sort of share with you was one of the guys was talking about lack of direction. And I could read the whole thing. But he said, a common challenge that I see in churches that are stuck in what he calls ministry silos. Another word is, he calls it departmentalization. And it's multiple unique individual ministries operating under one roof instead of working with one another. And ministries end up, as I said earlier, competing for volunteers, budget, resources, facility space, announcement time, and so on and so forth. And ministry silos are a sign of a lack of direction. And because there isn't a strong enough vision that's been presented, each ministry really ends up with its own unique vision and their own unique direction. And what God wants us to have is unity in direction. God wants us to all to be focused on seeking and saving the lost. So this means, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody or step on toes, I'm going to throw out a number of ministries. This means, for instance, the Heart Ministry, their vision, seek and save the lost. The van that goes out on Sunday mornings, the bus that goes out on Wednesday nights, the vision for that ministry needs to be to seek and save the lost. Okay, the choir and the musicians, Caleb and the guys in the sound booth, the vision for their ministry is to seek and save the lost. Now, it'd be real easy for Caleb to stand up there and debate with us the points of spending $10,000 on a new sound system. He could do that very easily. And then somebody else might say, you know what? You know, it'd be really neat if we painted the van bright green, like fluorescent green, and when it's driving through town, people would see us. So I want to spend $5,000 on that. And there would be a little bit of drama, a little bit of conflict back and forth as they argued about that. But ultimately, we would find common ground, right? Because we have a shared vision to seek and save the lost, not make a really cool van or make a really awesome sound system. So no matter what ministry we're involved in, our direction, our vision needs to be a shared direction to seek and save the lost across the street and across the sea. So I'm going to challenge us all with something tonight. Listen to the counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Are we working for that? The Lord's plans, the Lord's direction. We would all say, yeah. At least I hope so, right? Yeah, I want to follow the Lord's way. Let's flip that on its heels just a little bit, and I'll put something back in your laps. Are you praying for the people across your street? Now, here's the challenge. For the next month, what's today? The 6th? 5? So tomorrow's D-Day. So we have almost a whole month, not quite a whole month. What I want you to do is I want you to pray for 1 hour every week. 1 hour. Besides your normal meal times and your church prayer, or, you know, if you come on Wednesday night, I'm talking an hour above and beyond your normal prayer, that you would pray for the people across the street. That you would just have a renewed vision to seek and save the lost. Pray for the health of our church. I think that's part of it. But ultimately, pray that you would have a part in reaching the lost in this community. Now, I know this represents a lot of different communities as far as Gaines and Howell and Holly and Fenton and North Fenton and Linden and, you know, all over. But what I want you to do is pray for 1 hour for this vision, this direction, for yourself, for the church. And I was just thinking, you know, math, some of you really like math. If we had 10 people commit to praying for the next 4 weeks for 1 hour, that's 10 hours a week of prayer. What I'm going to do is pray 2 hours per week. Try to help out with that. So if 10 of us and myself prayed, that'd be 48 hours of prayer for God's direction for the church, as far as seeking and saving the lost. Now, that would be 48 hours that we normally wouldn't pray. Do you think God would honor that and bless that additional 48 hours of prayer above and beyond what we would normally pray? I think he would. And as we pray more than 0 hours, I think God will work and God will use us. Now, if we're praying to seek and save the lost, one of the old illustrations I've heard a lot of times, if you pray for rain, what should you toss in the back seat of your car? An umbrella. So let's say we pray that we would just really renew ourselves and with sharing the vision of Jesus Christ, of seeking and saving the lost, we sort of got to throw that symbolic umbrella in the back seat of our car. One of the things I think I would like you to specifically mention is August 13th here at the church. We are not doing a traditional VBS where it's a week long, one day during the week. We're going to do one day on a Saturday where we are going to try to reach kids for Jesus Christ. And the only reason I'm bringing that up is because in the last few days, I've had random strangers bring it up to me. A lady called the church on the phone, and we've had more than one call, actually, in the last two or three weeks. When is your church having VBS? And I said, well, we're not going to have a traditional VBS. It's going to be a one-day Saturday thing, August 13th. She said, oh, great, you know, I'm going to put that on my calendar. And then yesterday, I had a First Baptist T-shirt on, and we have some extras if anybody ever wants to wear one. And I had it on. It's got like some paint stains and stuff on it. But somebody noticed that, and they said to me this. I was looking at the church's website, and I was looking for information about VBS. I said, well, we're not going to have a normal one. We're going to have a day VBS. And I told her when and the time and whatnot, and she said, thank you. So in your prayer time, maybe pray for that one day, that God would work in that one day. Let's put a lot of effort in that one day. What if we had 100 kids show up on that one day? Wouldn't that be awesome? And if some of them kids got saved and their parents came into the church and they thought, you know, look at these people. They're authentic followers of Jesus Christ who are trying to seek and save that who is lost. I want to be a part of that community. I want to celebrate Jesus Christ with them. You know, it's about, what, 2 months between now and then. So if 10 of you prayed and I prayed, that would be 48 plus 48, 96 hours of prayer versus 0 hours of prayer. Wow, what could the Lord do? What could he do if we did that? I ran across some statistics. We're almost done. This, you know, there's all these people that go around polling churches and polling Christians, and I've mentioned these statistics before, but one guy in particular was going around asking people, why, what is the purpose of church? What is the purpose of church? And 89% of the people said, the church exists to meet my family's needs. And then they asked the same question to pastors, and they were answering, a huge percentage of them were answering it the same way. Actually, we're here ultimately to glorify God. And part of that is seeking and saving the lost. So in the next month, maybe hopefully next 2 months, pray an hour a week that we would be right on the same page as the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be going the direction he wants us to go. Let's pray. Father God, we're thankful for the book of Proverbs, the wisdom that's included in the book. We would just pray that we would be following your plans and not our plans. I would pray for each ministry and specifically that no one would be tempted to go their own direction and sort of be in competition with some other program or ministry. Lord, that we would just all be unified together around one purpose, to seek and save the lost. Father, we know that's why your son came. We know that's why basically we're left here on this earth, to preach to others, to reach out to others, to love others. And Lord, as we go through this process of maybe getting over a plateau that we've maybe hit as a church, may we renew our efforts to share this vision of seeking and saving the lost. Lord, I pray that you would bless our efforts. I pray for that day in August that we would just have a great wellspring of volunteers here. I just pray that you would just bring a bunch of people in from this community, that people would even get saved. Lord, prepare hearts even today for what will go on August 13th. Lord, we know you're a great God. We know that you died to save people, and we want to be a part of that. What a privilege it is, Father, to be a part of your ultimate plan and purpose of seeing people come to know you. So, Lord, help us do exactly what you would want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.